on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's Him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I've been talking to you and saying nothing. Isn't that great? My goodness. All right. Sorry about that. Let's see. Here we go. Now you have audio, I am sure. Well, David, what in the world is David Petticord doing on here? That right there is like the shock heard around the world. David Petticord on here. What in the world? My goodness. I hope you're doing well, Brother David. I haven't heard from you in a long time. I hope you are doing well. Anyway, sorry about that. I had the mic muted because I was trying to deal. It is a miracle, David. It absolutely is. Anyway, maybe it is. But anyway, we are going to talk about Sabbath day keepers today. You get the natural, here's the reaction. I have two different teachings that I might follow up with the second one, with the, female following effeminate, SDA Seventh-day Adventist group of people that do absolutely follow a female. So, and not follow according to the scriptures what the Bible says. But anyway, so, we'll see. We'll see. I might follow up with that, on Wednesday. But anyway, so today we will talk about, we'll get into Constantine is the one. Oh, here's what Adrian says. Constantine is the one who instituted Sunday. No, he didn't, actually. Constantine didn't institute Sunday. And Saturday, the Sabbath day, if you will, if you want to go with the Sabbath day, we'll talk about all that stuff. But anyway, no, he didn't. Constantine didn't institute Christians worshiping on the first day of the week. Jesus Christ did when he rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Adrian? Anyway, they have to come on here and defend their law-keeping because they believe in their minds that they are law-keepers, and they are not. They cannot keep the law. Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and amen. Yeah, and that's not the Sabbath day, friend. Christ rose on the first day of the week. And he met with his disciples on the first day of the week. And he appeared to them again on the first day of the week. Anyway. So we'll get to that. We'll get to all that fun stuff. Adrian's head is going to explode, though. You are going to literally, if it could come through the screen, if we had immersive technology, Adrian's head is about to explode. It's just going to go, it's like the flat earthers. It gets so big. It gets so big that it explodes. Oh, yes, Adrian, you are about to lose your mind. Anyway, that's what they do. And I really do pray for you often, Jason. Well, that's good. I need your prayers. I really do. Hopefully, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then I need your prayers. If you don't believe in the God of the Bible and you believe your works save you, then guess what? No, I'm not. I actually like you. Well, good. I'm glad you do. Anyway. Good for you. All right. Anyway. If I don't hurry up, though, David Petticord, he's going to stop listening. He's already lost interest. He's already on Pinterest. He's working recipes on Pinterest now. That's what he's doing. He's so upset with me because I've been talking to Adrian here for the last few minutes. Well, good. I'm glad you don't believe works save, Adrian. That's good. That way you're not going to hell. That's good. You believe that Jesus Christ. Okay, well, hey, how about this, Voidex? How about I present a good case for worshiping Christ every day of the week? How about we worship Christ every day of the week? Wouldn't that be something if we actually worship Jesus every day of the week? Boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Because Christians go beyond the law. My whole life is to be worshiping Christ. Every day of my life is to be worshiping Christ. Every day. And let the record show. Let the record show that there is no one alive today that truly keeps the Sabbath day. Let's just be real. They don't keep the Sabbath. The SDA certainly don't keep the Sabbath as they're looking for Enoch on moons far, far away, in a galaxy far, far away like Star Wars. They're certainly not keeping the Sabbath. The pork abstaining Hebrew rooter tutors are not keeping the Sabbath. We know they're not keeping the Sabbath, right? Those rootin' tootin' Hebrew rooters that are trying to drag you back into the... They're trying to take you and drag you back in under the condemnation of the law. Because the law... Constantine taught you to keep Sunday. No, Constantine didn't teach me anything. Jesus Christ taught me the first day of the week. I didn't learn anything from Constantine except what not to do. I bet you don't know anybody that's preached more on Constantine with the history of the Donatists and the Donatist rebellion against Constantine and against Augustine and every other teen out there. I can guarantee you I have. And I can guarantee you when you go back into my Baptist history lessons, I taught on what Constantine actually did. And just because the Pope says that Jesus Christ is Lord doesn't mean it's wrong. There's one for you. How about that? How about it doesn't mean it's wrong just because a blind squirrel gets a nut once or twice? Doesn't mean it's wrong. I don't take because what somebody else does and automatically make it wrong. The scriptures make things right, and the scriptures make things wrong. It's not my understanding, my interpretation. It's not anything else but what God's word says. Adrian, I'm not going to answer every idiotic question you ask me because it's a waste of time. I'm here to preach against your heresy. Won't that be fun? It will be for me. I'm enjoying it. I'm so tired of people confusing people and teaching them work salvation and confusing them. B. Pitch says, he speaks saying that Jesus taught him to keep the first day of the week. Can you please show us? Well, yeah, I'm about to. But this is how this works. This is my broadcast. So I'll do it in my timing. Not because trolls come to hide under bridges and tell me what to do. I don't let Jezebels tell me what to do. And I don't let little trolls provoke me to get me to do what they want me to do either. I don't do that either. I will. I'll ignore him. Anyway. So, here we go. Meanwhile, now here we go. Now we're going to get into it. All right. So, the real question to ask is, are you an Old Testament pork-abstaining Jew? Let me ask you that question. Are you under Moses? And are you an Old Testament pork-abstaining Jew? Now, myself, I am not. Because I just ate 3/4 of a rack of ribs last night. And yesterday afternoon, on Sunday. Meaning that I know full well that I am not a pork-abstaining Old Testament Israelite Jew. I am not. That's right. Steve says pork is bad for you. Lots of things are bad for you, Steve. Sin is bad for you. And you're going to die someday, and sin will be the reason that we die. It'll be the reason that you and I die. And by the way, I just had bacon about 2 hours ago for lunch. I did. And I am from Iowa. So I can never be a pork abstaining Israelite Jew. Okay, so we're going to get into scriptural reasons. We're going to get into Bible here. I'm just having fun to get started here. I like having fun. You got to understand, I was just on the phone for 20 minutes with the Minnesota Department of Revenue trying to figure out why they sent me more money than they should have. Because they sent me more money than they should have, and I'm trying to figure out why in the world they sent me more money than they should have. For a property tax refund. So that didn't work. Void X says, gross. I don't care about your weird obsession with tenderloins. Well, I don't care if you don't care about my weird obsession with tenderloins. What do you think about that? I don't care if you don't care. How do you like them apples? Maybe you don't like apples. Maybe you like pears instead. I don't know. Doesn't matter to me. Either way, I'm eating bacon and pork tenderloins. So there you go. All right. Let's see. Uh-oh. That's not it. Hang on a second. You know what's going on? My stuff's messing up on me. What's happening here? Okay. Now I gotta do this all over again because of... You know why I have to do this all over again? Because of Windows. That's why. Okay, let me see. Better export it in Word. Okay. Share it here. There we go. Alright. There it is. Alright. Here we go. Now we'll do this again. Yay! It worked this time! You know why it worked? Because I had to export it in Word. You know why? Because Mac is smart enough to read Word documents. But it just so happens Word is not smart enough to read page documents. That's funny. Oh, that's good, isn't it? That's really rich. All right, anyway. Yes, and Enoch is going to come back from the planet Saturn or Jupiter or something and get me. All right, well, we're going to go to the Word of God, and we're going to make a lot of Hebrew rooter tutors mad at us today, and that's not my goal. My goal is not to make anyone mad. Not really. Well, maybe the devil. But it's not really my goal. Like, I don't enjoy making people mad, especially the IRS. But anyway. Okay. Let's go over here. We'll go back over here. Yes. Yeah. I remember when I was stalked by a gang of witches, and they were like casting spells on me, and then in the middle of the night at like 2 o'clock in the morning, my doorbell starts ringing. I remember that. Good times. Sitting in my living room, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it comes flying in the front yard, this weird owl hooting at me at like 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, if that wasn't weird. And I actually once met a werewolf too. Who was actually a loser by day and a loser by night. Really was. But so I've met a lot of crazy people and had a lot of crazy things happen along the way. Really, it's just been remarkably strange. And Michael Landon's favorite fans trying to rip my soul out. And a Jack Hiles fan one time that told me, because I preached against, their lie of lack of repentance, okay? And, when I did that, When I did that, he did a whole video on me, and he goes, "Let me tell you something, JC. Let me tell you something. You don't have any Christian love, JC. I want to cut your tongue out, JC." So, it's been an interesting life, actually. And I'm sure there's more to come. As we look to the future. No, the vampire I met was not Bill Schneblin. It was actually Alistair Crowley's illegitimate, bastard grandchild. Falsely so-called. It's an interesting story, really. One that I will not tell you. But anyway, it was very interesting, to say the least. And they're out there floating around somewhere out in, I don't know, somewhere. Probably living in a tent somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, but let's see. Exodus chapter 31. Let's go there. I'm done having fun. Now it's time to go to work here. The Schnevelator will get me for this. Anyway. A lot of people don't realize, by the way, that... Okay, Exodus chapter 31. Let's go ahead and get started here. Since we've already, since we have already offended half of the listeners on here, since I have absolutely upset the apple cart, since Void X doesn't know good food and doesn't understand the absolute awesomeness of pork tenderloins, because she's deprived of that, and I feel bad for her about that. Somebody needs to make her a big, fat, huge Iowa pork tenderloin, deep fried in batter. Okay? It's not fair to deprive her of that. Somebody needs to do that. All right, but Exodus. Before we get started, I want you to understand something about Carl Winters. Carl thinks everyone's a tranny, everyone in Hollywood's a tranny, everybody on video's a tranny, everybody's related to Aleister Crowley, and every kooky, weird, no-eyed law thing in the world you could possibly think of, that's what Carl Winters believes. There you go. I just summed it up for you and made it real simple. That is the simplicity of Carl. I know. And the earth is flat, the no-eyed laws are coming, the Sunday law's coming, and every other weird, kooky thing in the world, because Carl, the guy with 16 last names, says so. All right, I'm done. Now I'm done. I really got to get started now. Exodus chapter 31, verse number 14. You can throw that in the heap. You can throw that in the heap pile of vigilant Christian Illuminati blood sacrifice exposed videos. You can throw it in the heap trash pit of Cargoo with that. Exactly. You can throw it there because that's how much nonsense it is. But anyway... Exodus chapter 31, verse number 14. Actually, 13, excuse me. We will start with 13. Of course the earth does not move. The sun moves. Exodus chapter 31, verse number 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Who? the children of Israel. The Bible differentiates between the children of Israel and the Gentiles in the New Testament. There is an old covenant and there is a new covenant. Speak all, thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. Holy to the Lord, whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Between who? God and the children of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now look at verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets, tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Moses is not Jesus. We don't follow the law of Moses. We are not Israelites following the law of Moses. We do not have land promised us. We are not divided into 12 tribes. America is not the new Israel. Britain is not the new Israel. Furthest from the truth. There is a difference in the moral law, in the ceremonial law, there is a difference. And I'll tell you something right now. If anybody tells you they keep this law, they're a liar. Because they don't. These verses are the thrust or the foundation of the Hebrew Roots movement or the Seventh-day Adventist movement. Their desire is to have you keep the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath for the New Testament Christian? No. No, it's not. You will find nowhere, nowhere in the New Testament. You will find nowhere in the New Testament that New Testament Christians are given the command to follow the Sabbath. Nowhere. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 6. But now, look at this, look at verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he's about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now, what is the but for? The but is the contrast. The but is the contrast. That's the difference. There is a distinction being made here. But now, hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to that covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. But they continued not in my covenant. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Hey, geniuses, if the covenant is the same, then why did Jesus come? No. What does the Bible tell us? But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Oh my goodness, how in the world can any of you bat crazy people out there actually believe that the Sabbath is better than Christ? When Jesus died for our sins and was buried and rose again from the dead, it's not the same covenant. If you want to be an Old Testament Sabbath keeping pork abstaining Jew, then you're going to die in your sins. Because this is a better covenant. God didn't just, let me go ahead and revise the covenant a little bit. Let me just tweak it a little bit. No! Uh-uh. Wasn't possible. Moses is not Jesus. I seek no justification from the law of Moses. Justification is in Christ alone. And if you try to find it anywhere else, my friend, in a ceremony, in an ordinance, in anything else, you will die in your sins. Justification comes from Christ alone. Justification is not found in the law. For by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. Justification is from Christ alone. It is imputed. It is imparted by Jesus Christ alone. If you seek it anywhere else, you will die in your sins. The Bible says the Sabbath was a sign, first of all, between the children of Israel and the Lord. Why is that? Because the Jews seek a sign. The Bible says that. They seek a sign. The law was our schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. A work salvation's nightmare book right here. Hebrews and Galatians. Two books that are a Hebrew rooter tutors and a legalistic Judaizer and an SDA falsely so-called Sabbath keeper's nightmare. Why is that? Well, because Galatians is written by the greatest apologist who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and who knew the law better than any Judaizing Galatians that snuck into the church, any Jews that snuck into the church, any dogs that snuck in to try to hurt the gospel message. He knew it better. Paul knew it better than them. Paul says, I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, a Jew of the Jews, man, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You ain't kidding nobody. And then the book of Hebrews was a masterful treatise that linked the Old Testament to the New Testament to explain it. That's the difference. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 22. Actually, verse number 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Paul is giving an admonition. B-Pitch asked the question. The reason for the Sabbath was because the Jewish people looked for a sign. Yes, it was. It just said that in Exodus. It just said it was a sign to the Jews. No, it was not, since it wasn't instituted at creation. At all, period. There is no proof that from the time of Adam to Moses, it was instituted until I believe it was Paul. That's who I believe wrote Hebrews. I absolutely, because I don't think anybody else could the way that he did. So I believe it was Paul. Absolutely. There's men that differ on that, but I believe it was. Now, why didn't Paul say he wrote it? Because he was writing to Hebrews. Think about it. They never accepted anything from him. They hated him. That's why. Some believe Apollos wrote it. Some believe that there's a lot of people that believe a lot of different things. But anyway, that's okay. If God wants us to know plainly, he'd tell us plainly. Amen. Anyway. Mount Sinai was where the Ten Commandments were given, the law, the Old Covenant that was given. There is not one Bible verse found in the New Testament for a born-again believer in Christ that commands him to keep the Sabbath. Why? Because it was not given to him. It was part of the ceremonial law of God. The proof is found in the New Testament in many places. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Verse number 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment that is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Nothing about the Sabbath. Do you see that? Nothing about the Sabbath at all. Paul is instructing the Romans on the first and second table of the law right there. He deals primarily with the second table of the law and how you deal with others. Galatians chapter 2. Verse number 11 through 16. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nothing. Nothing there about the Sabbath. Nothing there instructing Christians something so important. If it's the mark of the beast, it should be that important. Right? Acts chapter 15, verse number 5. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, who believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. But there rose up, look at that. That it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Huh. Well, what happened? And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Now look at this very closely. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. I don't preach Moses, I preach Jesus. I don't preach Moses. I preach Christ. Do you? Who do you preach? Do you preach Moses and the law of Moses? Or do you preach Christ and him crucified? Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he didn't go to the Gentiles and preach one time that they should keep the Sabbath. Not one time did he tell them that. And he was the apostle to the Gentiles. You lying little serpents. He didn't preach it once. Not once. He didn't preach it once to them. Neither did James. When that certain came from James. James didn't preach it one time. He didn't tell him, and by the way, tell him to keep the Sabbath. Not one time did he tell them to keep the Sabbath. And you Sabbath keepers are a bunch of liars. Because you're misrepresenting Scripture completely. And you're very dishonest when you do it too. Extremely dishonest. And I have no respect for you either. Because you preach a work salvation. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the churches of Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard, that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. To whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by my mouth. For it seemeth good to the Holy Ghost. You paying attention? I don't care what your SDA people told you, or your Hebrew Roots people told you, or your Judaizers told you. For it seemeth good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. From which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. So the Bible lists it for us. It tells us right there. It says here that verse number 31, which when they had read, they rejoiced for consolation. Why were they consoled? Because they weren't told they had to become Old Testament Jews in order to be saved. They weren't told that they had to keep a ceremonial law in order to be saved. They weren't told they had to follow Moses' law in order to be saved. This ceremonial law. Right? By the way, I don't know if anybody told you this, but we're not under the law. We're under grace. I don't know if you understand that. The person that's up there is just an old bird. Says, so I can work 7 days a week? You can worship Christ 7 days a week. What do you think about that? And if you don't want to meet with the saints of the Lord and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you got a bad heart. If you need a law to tell you that you need to go to church and you need to worship Christ and you need to gather with the saints of God and you need to observe the first day of the week and go to the house of God together with the saints of God and rejoice with God, with God's people and pray and seek the Lord's face and sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs and spiritual hymns and song, making melody in your heart to the Lord. If you believe that it's okay for you not to do that, no law is going to make you do that. If you're worshiping because some law tells you to, because the law tells you to, then you don't have the grace of Christ. What you have is a bunch of fear. That's what you have. You have a bunch of fear. I don't serve Jesus because I'm afraid he's going to throw me into hell if I don't keep the Sabbath. I serve Christ because he's worthy. I serve Christ because he changed my life and made me a new creature. He saved my soul. He washed me in his own blood. He gave me a new spirit. That's why I serve him. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Do you see the contrast? You and I are not under the old covenant, because Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him. You understand that? There's already men that preach the law of Moses. There were already men at that time that were preaching the law of Moses. Gentiles were never under the law of Moses. Maria Perez said, Cuzzello said, we still have to serve him. I don't have to. I get to. I don't live this Christian life because I'm forced to. I don't live this Christian life because I'm under the law. I live it because I've been forgiven much. That's why. I don't do it because I'm forced to. I don't live my life because I'm forced to. And Void X, I'm going to tell you what, you're a Pentecostal holiness law keeper is what you're trying to be. And I'm telling you what, I got no patience for it. I got zero amounts of patience for a bunch of people that are trying to take the law, the Old Testament law, drag men back out from under the cross, which delivers men from their sins and delivers them from the law of God by fulfilling the law of God through Jesus Christ and the requirements of the law, which is perfection, which no man kept but Jesus alone. Unbelievable. These people are in such bondage, it makes me sick. But everybody's a theologian today. There's nowhere that says you're to keep the Sabbath for the New Testament Christian. Acts chapter 21. Verse number 20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. But what is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles, which believe, look, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing. No such thing. See that? No such thing. I believe in extremes, Void X, and I'm going to lose my head probably someday because I believe in extremes. Because I believe every word of this book. And I'll probably end up losing my head for it. I'm a fanatic. Make no mistake about it. After Christ, I'm a fanatic. No apologies. Again, nothing is stated there. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse number 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. You labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, Be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. See, they were trying to take the Galatians that had been infiltrated by the Judaizers who wished to take them and to get them to observe days and months and times and years. To bring them back to the law. Just a bunch of Judaizers, nothing new. Ignoring Christ. And worshiping the Sabbath. That's what they do. Okay, I'm going to stop here and just answer this real quick. Justin Old Bird said, just because someone sits on a church pew doesn't mean they are a saint from my experience. Well, I don't have church pews where we meet. We have chairs. That we got, well, anyway, we have chairs. We've met in a barn before. We've met in a field before. We've met in my backyard before. We've met in my front yard. We've done baptisms in my backyard before. We have met everywhere you could possibly imagine that we could. The Assembly of the Saints is the local New Testament church assembled together, called out assembly of believers that have been baptized scripturally, that follow in accordance with the scriptures, that observe the ordinances of the local New Testament church, wherever they meet. Whether it's a field, whether it's a building, whether it's my house, whether it's my garage, whether it's in a tent, whether it's anywhere, it doesn't make a difference. It matters that the assembly comes together and is assembled. That's what a congregation is. That's what it is. No one here has said anything differently. No one here has subscribed anything differently to that. That's what we hold to. That's what we believe. That's what I've taught from the beginning. A church has a pastor, it has ordinances, it has discipline, it has everything else. If you don't have a pastor, if you don't have an ordered assembly, then you're just a bunch of people meeting in a house. If there's no discipline, if there's none of that stuff, then you're living a fairy tale. Anyway, I'll move along. The Galatians were observing these days as they had to keep them. They were brought back under the law, and Paul is saying, who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? Who hath bewitched you? Right? They were bewitched. Absolutely. Not surprising, is it? That they were bewitched, that they were taken. They were deceived. That they... Right? That's the way it was. Absolutely deceived. Well, you may not have seen it where you're at, but we practice it where we are because we believe the Bible. Now, Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, oh, let me back up verse number 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, only for the priest, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Jesus said this. Jesus said this. Don't you realize that I'm greater than the Sabbath? I'm greater than your ceremonial law? And that's what he says to the Judaizers today, the Hebrew roots guys, the SDA guys, and everyone else. That Christ is greater than the law. That Christ is greater than Moses. That Christ is a better mediator than Moses. That Christ is greater than the Sabbath day. That Christ is greater than all. That's what he said to him. But you got everybody wanting to worry about keeping the Sabbath day, going back under the law, and let's make sure we keep the Sabbath day and follow all the ceremonial laws. Why? They're subverted. They're imbalanced and subverted people. That's why. And I'm telling you, you won't shake them with anything. And here's the reason why. Because it's a spirit. They get that that's true legalism, friend. And when somebody gets subverted by true legalism, only the Holy Ghost of God can convince them that they are wrong. You still got to tell them, like Paul did to Peter, when Peter tried to add the law into the Gentiles. And Paul told him very plainly, he withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. That's why. And we are not Judaizers. I am not Judeo-Christian. I am a New Testament Christian. Identify as a Baptist. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. The other nine commandments were and are inherently right from the beginning, reflecting God's righteous nature and being naturally a part of man's moral character, who was made in the image of God. In Romans chapter 2, verse number 14, we see that. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Which command other than the Sabbath is lower than man's subject to being set aside under certain circumstances? None of them. When or under what circumstances can man lawfully commit adultery? Never. Obviously never. Man's life is not above God's holy and moral laws. Yet even a sheep's life is more important than a rigid enforcement of the Sabbath. Look at this. Jesus showed that. Look at this. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Do you understand what Jesus said? Do you understand what Jesus said there? He was showing you. He was showing you something as simple as a sheep. God never gives us an excuse for adultery. He never gives us a way out of any of those things. Right? But he explains with the Sabbath. Very clearly, very plainly. John chapter 5, verse number 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Colossians chapter 2. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities. See, now you're falsely accusing me. You're saying I have a temper. I don't have a temper. I don't lose my temper with people. Do I tell them the truth? There's a difference in being a bold-hearted man and losing it and calling people filthy names and losing composure like that. I'm not doing that. Do I boldly speak? Yeah, but I'm a man. I'm supposed to. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be a lady with a meek and quiet spirit. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. See that? Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Which are a shadow of things to come. Oh, you mean the new moons, the Sabbath, the judging? Those were a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. But the body is of Christ. Oh, wait, you mean... So if I don't follow the holy days, new moons, Sabbath days, let no man therefore judge you. Right? Or of the Sabbath days. Look at that. Look at that very plainly. Let me help you out with that. I'm going to put that in slow motion for you. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Huh. Well. Huh. You mean so maybe Ellen G. Witch is not right? Maybe the trolls that are under the bridge that want to come on here and try to preach something contrary to Christ because they're trusting in the law to save them and they're searching for types and shadows, but the body is of Christ? You mean I'm told let me read that again to make sure. Oh, let me read that again just to make sure. Let me just back up. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Well, John 5:18 says, therefore the Jews thought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So then, that made them mad. I must pause for a second, because sincere I yours Yah said, it should read, don't let anyone judge you but the body of Christ. Because they say, but the body of Christ is not in the original manuscript. Pray tell, my dear friend, could you show me the original manuscript? Do you have an original manuscript? You do? Where would the originals be? Could you show me the original manuscript you have? I would love to see the original. Wait, my friend, Bible Hub doesn't have the original. When you say originals, you're talking about the scroll. Could you show me the original? Oh, wait. You don't have an original. You want me to believe in something that doesn't exist. I'm sorry. You don't have an original. You don't have an original. And you know you don't have an original. You want me to have faith in a book that doesn't exist. And I don't. You don't have an original. If you have an original, show it to me. Bible Hub does not have an original manuscript. You're not being honest with me. You don't have an original. But I have the Bible right here. Okay, let's talk about the first day of the week now. Since we've established very clearly, okay? Since we've established very clearly that the Sabbath day was not given to the New Testament Christian, nowhere in the New Testament does the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles, and to the churches, who wrote all the epistles to the churches, who gave them directions, commanded them to keep the Sabbath. Nowhere were they encouraged to keep the Sabbath. Nowhere were they instructed to teach the Sabbath, or to keep the Sabbath. Nowhere. Now we're going to talk about the example that we do have in Scripture. The first day of the week. Matthew chapter 28. Verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verse number 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out, how he had cast seven devils. John chapter 20, verse number 19. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Acts chapter 20. Verse number 7, And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight on the first day of the week. Hang on a second. I have to say something real quick. Are you ready? So far, I've not mentioned Constantine one time, but only the scriptures, only the word of God has been mentioned. Only the example of the disciples of Jesus Christ meeting on the first day of the week and Jesus appearing unto them on the first day of the week. Now, I don't mean to make your brains rattle off your head, but let me just say to you again, I didn't say anything about Constantine. I'm just reading the Holy Scriptures. That's all. Sunday is sun worship, and Saturday is what? Saturn worship. Doesn't matter. It's foolishness. It's nonsense. Now here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Well, how come on the first day of the week? How come he keeps mentioning the first day of the week? How come he keeps doing that? How come Jesus met him on the first? Why did he even mention the first day of the week? If it wasn't important, why did Jesus keep saying he rose again on the first day of the week? On the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher. On the first day of the week, they came. On the first day of the week, they came. Paul said that to take up the collection on the first day of the week. Do you realize how far these people were away from each other? They didn't get in their cars and go 65 miles an hour. They had to take up an offering and a collection because they met on the first day of the week. Now, I'll type in for you to see if it's in there, but I'm not sure it is. Let me type it in. Are you paying attention over here? Come on. There it is. I typed in Constantine into my Bible and he doesn't show up. He's not there. And I didn't read any extra biblical materials. I picked up my King James Bible and I read it and it kept saying on the first day of the week. And it mentioned because the saints are assembled on the first day of the week. Are you okay? Are you going to be all right? I didn't see Saturday or Sunday in there. Are you going to be all right? Are you going to be okay? I'm saying that Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week. Jesus Christ is Lord over all. The number 8... or the number 1 is preeminence. Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week. He nailed the ceremonial law to his cross. Right? The Apostle Paul gives instructions for taking up offerings on the first day of the week. Hey, I got a newsflash for ya. They didn't have PayPal. They didn't have checks. They didn't have the internets. They didn't have the Googles. They didn't have Venmo. They didn't have fast cars. They didn't have motorcycles. They walked. The first day of the week. The first day of the week. They didn't have bank accounts. They didn't have cryptocurrency. Right? I wonder how many people I'm really like roasting them right now completely, that they're just like losing it completely. Probably quite a few, I would say. Probably quite a few. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Sabbatarians ask for one command in the Bible that says Sunday worship is there, or the first day of the week. Well, Leviticus chapter 23, verse number 11 says this, "And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." The day after the Sabbath is what? Sunday. In verse number 15, it says, "You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering. There shall be seven complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord." This is the Feast of Pentecost. It was one day. It was one of the compulsory feasts of Israel. Now, we don't believe in keeping any of those. That's my point. That's my point. And you know what? You can make the argument if you want to. Well, we don't really know because the calendar changed. Okay, I'm in. You don't know when the Sabbath is because the calendar changed. So then what does that mean? Means there is no New Testament law to New Testament believers anyway. And you couldn't keep it if you wanted to. Because you don't know when the Sabbath is. You know what's important? That you worship Christ every day. You know what's important? That we do our best to follow biblical guidelines that we have in the Scriptures to the New Testament believers. That's what's most important. That we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what's most important. By the way, if you think this only applies to Israel, that's our point. The Ten Commandments, the covenant, the old covenant, it was made with Israel, not with the Gentiles. It was made on Sinai. So those Old Testament references I just gave you in Leviticus chapter 23, it doesn't even matter. That's my point. That's the point of it all. It's not given to us. By the way, the seven post-resurrection appearances of Christ show that Jesus purposely chose the first day of the week to meet with his disciples, to encourage and exhort them. That evidence shows that five of these appearances occurred on Sunday, the first day of the week. We don't have a record of what actual day on which the other appearances were, but we do know this, that he did appear to the disciples. Jesus' resurrection, whenever he met with his disciples, and that day is identified. It is not the Sabbath, it is the first day of the week. And we are New Testament Christians. I am not an Old Testament pork-abstaining Jew. Temple-observing, pork-abstaining. Jew. I'm not. By the way, Pentecost would have happened on the first day of the week as well. You do the numbers, if you do the math. The 9 moral commands of the 10 commandments are reiterated in the New Testament. To worship the Lord God only is the first commandment. It's no less than 50 times. Idolatry, the second commandment, is condemned 12 times. Profanity, the third commandment, condemned 4 times. Honoring your parents, the fifth commandment, is taught 6 times. Murder, the sixth commandment, is condemned 6 times. Adultery, the seventh commandment, condemned 12 times. Theft, the eighth commandment, condemned 4 times. False witness, ninth commandment, condemned 4 times. Covetousness, the 10th commandment, condemned 9 times. When the New Testament lists sins, Sabbath breaking is conspicuously absent. Jesus did not mention breaking the Sabbath. He never listed it. Not one of them is Sabbath breaking. Of all the commands that he gave, 18 sins, but not once is the Sabbath breaking mentioned. In Mark chapter 7, 21 through 22, there's 13 sins that are listed. In Romans chapter 1, 29 through 32, 20 sins are listed. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, 15 are listed. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4, there's a list of them. Somebody said, I have a friend who quit eating pork and she doesn't have high blood pressure anymore. Good for her. So anyway, I can give you historical information before Constantine ever came around too, but does it really matter? I mean, I can give it. I have the quotes. I have the proof. I have the evidence that historically, before Constantine ever came about, that the Christians met on the first day of the week. But the Bible is our authority for faith and practice. It's the Word of God that's our authority. It's what we hold to. It's not hard to historically prove that there were Christians that met on the first day of the week. That's easy. That's easy to prove. I agree, Cindy Nelson. But anyway, so, I mean, what's the point? I mean, Justin Martyr, there's many of the saints that talk about meeting on the first day of the week. There's historians that talk about that the church has met. But because Ellen G. White brought it out, made everybody think that's right? Ellen G. White made it popular. I'm going to talk about her next time. I'm going to talk about her on Wednesday, probably. Her Sabbath day keeping heresy, where they exalt the fourth commandment and put it in like fiery letters and say that when she had her vision that God gave her a vision that the fourth commandment, that Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. That is so stupid. I am sorry, but you have got to be deceived by devils to believe anything like that. That is so stupid. It is one of the dumbest heresies I've ever heard in my life. It's almost as bad as the black Hebrew Israelites. almost as bad as Black Hebrew Israelites. Almost that bad. Not quite that bad, though. I don't know. It's pretty close. It's pretty close to being as dumb as the Black Hebrew Israelites. It is pretty close.